Well, good morning again. Welcome to Bridgewater. My name is David. I also get to serve as one of the pastors here. And I just want to say again, I'm glad that you are here today. And today we're continuing our series that we're calling Giants Must Fall, looking at some of those things in our, in our lives that have a way of standing in our way and holding us back from the life that we want to live and really some of the freedom that Jesus died to give us, these giants that get in our way. And today we're going to talk about a giant that might seem a little bit strange to you. In fact, I bet if I were to poll the room and ask you for maybe your top 10 giants in your life, the things that you struggle with, I doubt I'd get many, maybe any, of this giant. And yet, I think it might be among the top three, maybe the top five for many of us. Today, we're going to be talking about the giant of comfort. Comfort might not be something that you would classify as a giant standing in your way, attacking you, but as I hope to help us see today, comfort can hold us back from a lot of the goodness that Jesus calls us into, and he is ready to help us slay that giant. Comfort is a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint, and as human beings, we long and we strive for comfort, don't we? We want things to be easy. We want things to go our way. We want things to be comfortable. We want things to work out nicely and according to plan. We want to be comfortable. And the problem is that we live in a sin-stained world that is not yet all that God created it to be. And because of sin and its effects on the world, this life will not always be totally comfortable. But at the same time, we live in the most comfortable society in all of human history, don't we? And so our technology and our wealth and these projections of this perfect life in that we see in the media makes us think sometimes that life will be more comfortable than is actually possible in this life. We see these influencers on social media or wherever else who seem to do nothing but like sit around their gorgeous house all day and eat whatever food they want and do whatever they want whenever they want, right? Just in front of us all the time, this easy, comfortable, satisfied life. It's just like put in front of us all the time, and it makes us ask ourselves, well, why can't I have that life? Why doesn't my life look more like that? Well, the reason is that their life doesn't even look like that, right? Much of that is a projection. They don't bother to show you all the hard work they put into it. They don't bother to tell you about how they're probably in a lot of debt or how their relationships aren't working out as perfectly as they like to make it seem. Or, you know, I mean, all that stuff's off camera, right? They're not showing you reality. They're not showing you what their life is really like. And so we have this idealized, comfortable life put in front of us all the time that's just not real life. That desire for comfort within us isn't a bad thing. I think it's actually a normal. I think it's actually a good desire. In fact, I think it's actually a desire for heaven. I think within all of us is this desire for things to be at peace, for things to be right in the world, to not have this constant striving and strife. And the Bible would say that is not going to happen until God makes all things new again, until we're with him for eternity in heaven. And so that desire for comfort, I think it's actually a good thing, but it is misplaced if we're thinking it's going to be totally satisfied here in this life, because this life is not meant to be the destination. We're not really meant to be comfortable here. God designed this life, this short life on earth, to help prepare us for an eternity with him. I think comfort becomes a giant in our lives when we let it become a ruling desire, this dominant theme in our lives that blocks out other things that are far more important. It becomes this idol, this thing that we'll give up so much to have, and before we know it, our whole life is just revolved around what makes me comfortable and happy, what makes my life easy. I think comfort is one of the things that kept King Saul and the armies of Israel from facing that giant Goliath, even when he was mocking their God. And I think comfort can become a giant in our lives too. And here's a few of the ways that that can happen. If we miss a great opportunity because we chose a safer and easier route, this sounds like it'll be easier. Let me go that way instead. If a good thing actually turns out to be a harmful or counterproductive over time because it lulls us into a false sense of security. If we choose the good thing, but we miss the God thing. If we buy into the idea that we work hard for a season of life and then we can just choose to do whatever we want with the rest of it. if we slip into thinking it's my life to do with as I please, if my number one factor in deciding what I do is whatever makes me happy and comfortable, if comfort is sought ahead of everything else, including our desire to be available to God's plan and what he has for us, if we grow accustomed to our sin and fail to confront it and remove it from our lives. Just a few of the ways that comfort can become a giant in our lives. And by the way, those are all from Louis Giglio's book called Goliath Must Fall, which is kind of the inspiration for this series. If you want to maybe go more into depth in what we've been talking about in this series, I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of that book. It's very, very good, very helpful. I know I can let comfort keep me from getting off the couch when Solomon's getting fussy, because I know Joanna will do it, right? I know it can keep me from having that difficult conversation that I really should have, that really needs to happen. I know it can keep me from getting out of bed early in the morning to work out like I know I should, and like I know I'm actually going to feel better and have more energy for the day, but my bed just feels kind of comfortable, right? Comfort can hold us back from so much. I think it can be a giant in my life far more than I'd like to admit, and I think the same can be true for many of us here today. I do want to be clear as we begin that this message is primarily aimed at those of you who would call yourself followers of Jesus. And that, while that's true of all of our message, I want to point it out, all of our messages, I want to point it out here because if you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you're not going to feel yet much of a reason to forsake comfort because this giant is so deceptive. I think all the other ones can, it's kind of obvious why you'd want to remove those from your life. Like who wants more fear in their life, right? But comfort can be so sneaky. And so if you're here and you're not yet, you're just kind of checking out this Jesus thing, you might say, I'm not giving up my comfort in order to follow Jesus. And I want to say that's fair. But I do hope you listen in as we talk about why Jesus would call us away from what is comfortable into something that's actually better. It's a better life. So let's go to a passage where Jesus addresses that desire in us and see how his way is better. Matthew chapter 16 is where we'll be. You can turn there in your Bible or on your Bible app, or it'll be on the screen behind me as well. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word, we'd be happy to give you one for free at our Welcome Center. But Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." This is another one of those passages where I kind of love to watch Peter just stick his foot right in his mouth. It's both a little bit funny to me. It's also a little bit encouraging because there are a lot of moments in my life where I say things and I'm like, ooh, man, should have not have said that. Or I do things and I'm like, ah, man, should not have done that. So it gives me a little bit of hope that I'm not the only one. Peter's right there with me. Peter tries to correct Jesus for saying that he's going to die, and Jesus kind of rebukes him for it. And it's interesting to me, if you go back just a few verses, right before this is where Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah, and Jesus gives him his new name, Peter. His name is actually Simon, but Jesus says, no, we're going to call you Peter now, because you are the rock on which I will build my church. And so he almost seems to give him a position of authority, of power, of influence in the church that he's building. And I wonder if that kind of got into Peter's head, and he's like, oh, okay, now it's a good time to correct God. Like, that's apparently, I don't know exactly what it was, what he was thinking. But Jesus has some stern words for him. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." And maybe that seems harsh to us, but trying to get in the way of God's plan for Jesus' life is the role of Satan, not the role of a disciple. And so whether Peter realizes it or not in this moment, he has the same goal and the same mindset as Satan. And so Jesus calls him out for that. I think this reveals for us really a fundamental difference between Jesus' goal and Peter's. And I think we can have Peter's goal too, because you see, Peter thought there was no way that Jesus needed to suffer and die. There's no way that could be God's plan for Jesus' life or even for Peter's life. And here's why. Because my goal for my life is happiness and comfort, right? What could be better than that? But God's goal for my life is greatness. God's goal for my life is that I become more like Jesus. And in this moment, Jesus is confronting Peter with this truth. Peter, you think this is all about us being comfortable, about me taking over right now and punishing the Romans for how they've been ruling, but God has a different agenda. I have a different agenda, and it goes directly against your desire for comfort and for ease. Here's what we want to see. There's three reasons this morning why that giant of comfort must fall. And the first one is this: comfort must fall to become greater, which means to become more like Jesus. If we're going to become like Jesus, we have to leave our comfort behind, because he calls us into a lot of things that just aren't easy all the time. God's agenda is way bigger and way better than our happiness or our comfort. It's that we grow into the greatness that he has for us in following him. You see, we follow a Savior who was brutally beaten and murdered. His cross, which is literally an instrument for torture, that is our symbol as followers of Jesus. We rally around a crucified Messiah, and we're called to follow in his footsteps. And that doesn't mean that we necessarily have to be crucified, but it does mean that we make our life about what he made his life about, which was serving others, pursuing the mission that God had given him. Let me ask it to you this way. When has anything meaningful in your life ever been comfortable and easy? Can you think of one thing of significance in your life that didn't require something of you? I mean, think about it. Your marriage? Doesn't that require some work? Parenting? Oh man, that requires a little bit of work, doesn't it? At least every now and then. Your job that you might enjoy, it still requires work, school, friendships, relationships, hobbies that you enjoy, they all require some sacrifice from us. They're not always super comfortable. And following Jesus is the most meaningful, significant thing we could ever pursue, but it will cost us our comfort. Right now, Joanne and I are trying to make our son Solomon's life as comfortable as we can. In fact, we just bought him a new mattress yesterday because we're pretty sure one of the reasons he's not sleeping well at night is that he's got this mattress that was free to us. And I don't even know how old it is. And it's like real crinkly and like loud. And so I think he's like waking himself up on it. But anyway, we're trying to make his life comfortable. Hopefully it helps. We'll see in a week when it comes, right? We're trying to make his life comfortable. We work hard to make sure he's not too hot or too cold, that his diaper is changed, that he's full, that he's entertained. Why is that? Because he's a baby and he needs a lot of nurturing right now, right? But there's going to come a day where it would be ridiculous for me to still be wiping his butt, right? There's going to come a day where he's going to say, "Dad, I'm hungry," and I'm going to say, "You know where the kitchen is." There's going to come a day when he's going to say, "Dad, I'm bored," I'm going to say, "Here's some chores to do, buddy." The same thing happens as we grow in our walk with God. As we become more like Jesus, we grow out of infancy into maturity. As we become more like him, you see, Jesus is not in the business of spoon-feeding us spiritual baby food for the rest of our lives. That comfort and that safety, it is a good thing for a time, but we're called to grow in our relationship with him. We're called to grow into maturity. We're called to be on mission with Jesus, spreading the same good news that saved us, and that requires us to step out of our comfort zone. See, following Jesus means trusting God's plan, even when it sounds crazy. Maybe especially when it sounds crazy. If I was Peter in that moment, I would have been like, "Jesus, that's a crazy plan. What was in your Cheerios this morning? Like, I don't understand what's going on here." But it was right. And sometimes God calls us to things that seem pretty crazy to us. You mean I'm supposed to take some of my hard-earned money and just give it away to somebody else who didn't earn it? You mean I'm supposed to be honest all of the time? Not just when it's convenient for me and when I want to be honest? You mean I can't do what I want when I want? You mean my life's no longer about me anymore? I'm supposed to serve other people? You mean I can't do what I want when I want with my body? Jesus calls us into some things that sound pretty crazy to us in our flesh and to the world around us, and yet he's actually calling us into a better life. C.S. Lewis, a well-known Christian author, said this: "If you want a religion that makes you really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." Listen, if you're looking for a religion that's not going to mess around with your life too much, if you're looking for a hobby to entertain you, I'd encourage you to look elsewhere. But if you want to find the way to life that is truly life, then forsake comfort Follow hard after Jesus. Here's how he continues in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds." So secondly, the second reason that giant of comfort has to fall, comfort must fall to save and to find your life. Jesus says if we try to hang on to our life, we're actually going to lose it. But if we give up our life for his sake, we will save it. And so in other words, if we try to make our life all about us, what we want, what makes us comfortable, what the world says will be good, getting what we want when we want it, we're going to end up losing it all. But if we lose our life for his sake, we will find it. If we choose to follow Jesus and make our lives about what he says is important, we're going to find real, lasting, true life. I think this is how the giant of comfort can be so deceptive. We can struggle with all kinds of overtly destructive and sinful things, but sometimes it's not those things that destroy our lives. Sometimes we're good, we're honest people, yet we settle for what's comfortable and what's easy. In our abundant life on earth and our eternal reward in heaven, they aren't always robbed by the bad stuff. Sometimes our chance for a meaningful and a happy forever is robbed by the giant of comfort. We just pursued whatever was comfortable for us. We can be really good-looking church people on the outside and yet totally miss Jesus' call to take up our cross and follow after him. Other translations of verse 24 will say, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." And that phrase, deny themselves, has led some Christians to think that, or some people to think that we need to be some like monk who always is denying ourselves, never enjoying any kind of pleasure, never doing anything that's good or fun. And the NLT translates it for us, the version that we use, as give up your own way. And I think that's really helpful because it gets to the real issue that we need to pursue Jesus' way over our own, that his way is, in fact, better. In fact, he puts really two approaches to life in front of us. And these are really the only two ways that we can go about it. We can either give up our own way or we can live for ourselves. We can either take up our cross or we can just ignore the cross. We can follow Christ or we can follow the world. We can lose our life for his sake and actually end up saving it, or we can try to save our life and end up losing it in the end. We can forsake the world or we can gain the world. We can keep our soul or we can lose our soul. And these might seem like rather extreme options to us. Like, isn't there some kind of middle ground? Can't I do a little bit of what Jesus wants me to do and then a whole lot of what I want to do? Not according to Jesus. Either we're all in as his followers, taking up our cross, giving up our own way, forsaking the world, or we're living for ourselves, trying to gain the world and in the end losing our soul. And I think there'll be many people who go to church every week who'll be on the wrong side of that line but aren't even aware of it. So I do want to warn us to examine ourselves. Are we following Jesus even when it's uncomfortable, especially when it's uncomfortable, when it's not easy? What does following Jesus actually cost us in our life? What have we had to give up in order to follow him? You see, in life, there's a big difference between hurt and harm. Hurt is that temporary pain or discomfort that's not actually going to impact you in the long run, but harm is that more serious damage from something that actually can take you out. And this is something I try to help my junior high soccer players understand. Like, practice might hurt you for a little bit, but it will not harm you. In fact, it's actually going to make you better. It's going to make you a better player. It's going to make you a better human being. At the end of the day, you're going to be a better soccer player. Yes, it will hurt in the moment, but it will not harm you. There are a lot of things like that in our life that are hard, that are painful, but that does not make them bad. The same is true in our walk with Jesus. There's things he's going to call us to that might be painful. They might not be easy or comfortable in the moment. He might allow things into our life that we don't necessarily like in the moment, but they will not harm us. fact, if we've made Jesus our forgiver and our leader, nothing in life can truly harm us. Because nothing can get in between God and his love for us and him. Nothing can take away our eternal reward. Nothing can take away our relationship with Jesus. So essentially, nothing can harm us in the long run. But at the same time, taking up our cross doesn't mean that we are going to go around looking for things that are painful, right? Doesn't mean that we're trying to carry unnecessary burdens or problems or pain. We're not like some masochists who like pain. It's like, oh yeah, I want to make my life harder. Like that's not what we're about here. To take up your cross doesn't mean that we identify with Jesus and his rejection, his shame, and his suffering and death. We identify him, we make him our leader and our forgiver, and we seek to become more like him. Follow in his footsteps, make our lives about what he made his life about, serving others, being on the mission God had given him. Got one more reason. Comfort must fall to gain a greater reward. Jesus says, what good is it if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? In other words, what kind of reward do you really get if you achieve all that the world has to offer? Big deal. What does the world have to offer that's so great? It's not going to be worth it in the end. And Jesus is calling us to work for rewards that will actually last, that will actually be worth it. He says in verse 27 that he's going to come and judge all people according to their deeds. And so as followers of Jesus, we are going to answer for how we lived. Do we make our life about ourselves, our comfort, our ease? Or do we make our lives about him, about serving him, about following after him? When we make our lives about him, we will gain eternal rewards that will actually be worth the sacrifices required to get there. You see, God is not against you having fun or joy in life. In fact, I believe that God is actually more for your joy and your happiness than you are. He just knows better where to find it. He knows that all the things that we run to try and find that, they come up empty every single time. And so he points us toward a better life. He says, follow me into joy. Follow me into lasting rewards. I actually know, I created you. I know a little bit better than you do. I know where that can be found. Joy that will actually last. Imagine with me for a moment that you're going on vacation for a week and you're going on vacation for a week at a Motel 6. Why you're on vacation at a Motel 6? I don't know, but let's just play with me for a minute, all right? Would you spend all your time and life savings remodeling that room and making it as comfortable as you can? Of course not, right? Like that would be stupid. That'd be silly because you know it's not yours to keep and you're not going to be there very long. What we need to realize is that our life is that Motel 6. We are not going to be here very long. Why would I spend everything I have renovating a room that isn't mine to keep? I won't enjoy long anyway. That would be insanity. And yet that is what so many of us do in life when we make our life all about this moment and totally ignore eternity. We make our life all about planning for retirement or getting our house to be the most beautiful thing it can possibly be or getting the best job we can possibly get so we make the most money that we can possibly get, all the while ignoring eternity in the souls of people, things that actually matter and will last. All that's going to fade away, and Jesus is calling us to invest this short life in eternity. Maybe saying it this way will help us bring it home. The longer view you take, the better decisions you make. The longer into the future that you look, the better decisions you make today and tomorrow. And Jesus is calling us to consider eternity in our decisions because this life is so short. And Jesus is calling us to invest our short lives on earth to gain a greater reward in heaven. Will we lose some things here on this earth? Sure. But we will gain much better rewards in heaven that we get to enjoy for so, so much longer. We can't even really fathom how much longer. If Satan can keep us comfortable, then we will be tempted to waste our days on things that do not matter for eternity. I think that distraction of comfort is maybe one of his greatest tactics in our life. Just say, oh man, this will be comfortable, and then we waste our lives on that, ignoring eternity. Comfort must fall if we want to gain a greater reward. So here's some ways that we can take this home this week? How can we make comfort fall in our lives? Well, first, you already heard about two opportunities that we have coming for that, to pursue Jesus over comfort. Next week is our day of prayer. And taking a half hour or an hour out of your day to pray could feel very uncomfortable to some of you, especially if you've never done that before, especially if you sign up for 7 a.m. Like, that might not necessarily be easy for you. I can almost guarantee it'll be way more fun than you're thinking. It'll go way faster than you're thinking. But if you've never done something like that before, it could feel a little bit uncomfortable. And my encouragement to you would be push through that, because you will find a greater reward on the other end. Secondly, we already talked about some needs we have in our kids' ministry for more volunteers. And maybe it's time for some of us to grow into maturity and to be a part of serving other people, whether in kids' ministry or somewhere else. It might feel uncomfortable for a moment, but again, when in life has something meaningful and significant ever been totally comfortable and easy? Secondly, I'd love for you to write down and consider these questions today. Maybe talk them over with somebody in your family or a friend that could help you apply them. What are some areas of my life where I need to give up my own way? Where am I not totally following Jesus? Where is he calling me into what's uncomfortable? Am I satisfied in places where God is not? Are there parts of my life where I'm feeling just totally fine and God is saying, there is some growth there to happen? I'm calling you into something better than that. You are satisfied with this little bit of joy, this little bit of fun, or whatever it might be, but I've actually got something way better for you. What does it cost me to follow Jesus? And if the answer is nothing, I wonder, are we following Jesus? Are we following some comfortable version of Jesus that we've kind of made up in our own mind? I think the greatest regret that any of us will face is standing before Jesus at the end of our lives, knowing that we lived too safe, too comfortable, too much for ourselves, too much for this world, too much for whatever made me happy in the moment. But we will never regret the times that we sacrifice something in order to follow Jesus. We'll never regret when we forsake our comfort and take up our cross and follow hard after him. And as we follow him, we realize that our walk with him is never really just about us. It's about helping other people too. Because you see, when David stepped up to fight Goliath, when he stepped out of what was comfortable in faith, an entire nation was liberated. And when you step out of what is comfortable in faith, you never know who you might be helping. There may be a whole group of people that are waiting for deliverance because you are stuck in what is comfortable. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's some friends. Maybe it's people at work. Maybe your workplace could be turned upside down by you sharing your faith. Maybe your family could be different because you decided to pursue Jesus over what is comfortable. Maybe this nation is waiting on you to stop merely consuming and instead start serving other people around you. Maybe this community is waiting on the next King David to stand up and face that giant of comfort and say, in Jesus' name, you are going down. When we step out of what's comfortable into what Jesus has for us, it's not just a blessing for us. We impact those around us. So church, I would encourage us to be a people who pursue Jesus over what is comfortable. He's calling us into a better life. He's calling us into true joy, lasting joy. But it does require we leave behind our comfort. Let's be a people who pursue him over that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he was willing to leave behind what was comfortable for him. Can't imagine how comfortable heaven was. And yet he said, I'm going to lay that aside. I'm going to go to this earth that's going to reject and despise and ultimately kill and crucify me. Also that he could have a relationship with me. He could have a relationship with us. He was willing to leave behind what was comfortable to serve other people. Father, I pray that we would follow in his footsteps, that we would be a people who don't just try and say, what's going to be easy for me? What's going to be comfortable? What am I going to like? What's going to make me happy? But instead say, how can I serve other people? How can I follow Jesus into serving others? How can I follow Jesus on mission, pursuing other people who are far from him? God, each of us here who know you, somebody was willing to leave behind what was comfortable in order to share that with us. Father, I pray that we do the same. Thank you so much for Jesus and for all that he's done for us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.